Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Professor Hussein Solomon is a senior professor at the Department of Political Science. A very good morning to you, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us. How are you doing, Professor?
Thanks for having me.
You've been writing about this and talking about this for years. And in fact, I even remember a conversation that you and I had some time back where you differentiated between the short-term and the longer-term issues and goals and visions around an ISIS versus the Taliban or an Al-Qaeda, where they played the longer game. Is this exactly what you would have seen coming to pass?
I think the longer game I was referring to was more groups like the Muslim Brotherhood, the Ikhwan al-Muslimin. I think in terms of the Taliban, what is interesting is that there is the fact that it is there's a certain Afghan nationalism, a certain ethnocentric bias in terms of the Pashtuns and they're being excluded. And I mean, it was very clear that the government in Kabul, both Karzai and Ghani, just did not have the popular legitimacy, irrespective of the tens of thousands of coalition troops supporting them.
So what does that mean?
I mean, it's still early days. What is very clear and what I find very interesting is that there's a huge difference between the days of Mullah Umar and his close relationship to Osama bin Laden and the current Taliban leadership, many of whom have been abroad, many of whom have been in negotiations in Doha and so forth. There has been reports of some killings. There's been reports of specifically in terms of women being targeted in some of the areas that they've taken back from government control. But, I mean, you talk about Kabul, you talk about 5 million people. They've come in, they've asked UNICEF to stay on. They have sent envoys both to Beijing and to Moscow, which is strategically significant in terms of the Muslim populations, in terms of Xinjiang, and in terms of the Caucasus there in those respective countries. They have said that women can have the rights that they have in terms of working and so on. They would just have to wear the burqa. And they've said there would be no revenge killings and so on, which is a bit unusual in that society in terms of the bloodletting. Of course, we don't know if it is just a ploy.
I'm just going to say, I mean, can we believe what he said?
Well, first of all, in order to answer that, we do not know what happened in Doha in terms of the U.S. agreements there with the Taliban. And what is very clear to me, I think that the U.S. would have had given them certain red lines. So, for example, if you once again become a basis for the likes of Al-Qaeda or Islamic State will be back. I think that they are maybe showing a particular face because they're not really in full control. You know, I mean, really, you are talking about 75,000 Taliban fighters. You are talking about 300,000 Afghan troops who just melted away. They just didn't have, they just didn't want to defend this corrupt government of Ghani who rushed off to Tajikistan, as you know. So it's still early days. They may be saying certain things in order to consolidate their position. But certainly, if you look at the mad scramble at Kabul airport and so on, in terms of people wanting to leave, there are many Afghan people who don't necessarily believe them. It would be very interesting to see what happens in terms of developments, as I said, in terms of China and Russia. The Russians have said that they are keeping their diplomatic envoys in place in Kabul. So I think that is quite interesting. But, you know, I just want to say this, that despite the criticism that Biden came under, I think it was the right decision to make. They've been there for 20 years. There's been $2 trillion spent, lives lost, and to essentially defend a government which had no credibility. I think at the get-go, the American mission should have been trying to divide the Taliban, which is not a cohesive force, and they failed to do that. And I'm specifically talking about separating Pashtun nationalists from the hardline extremists. So it's still early days to see what happens. Is there going to be a government of national unity? Are they going to try to be more inclusive? Are they going to try to put out a more moderate version of Islam? These are all open questions.
Do you have a sense? I mean, do you have any sense of where you think this will go?
Look, there are just too many variables, and I don't want to make a call. But what I would say is that it seems from CNN reports, for example, from their journalists on the ground, Al Jazeera journalists on the ground, that, for example, they've taken over the police functions, you know, and was sort of waving through traffic through and stuff like that. It would be very interesting to see if a Taliban, an Islamist entity, can actually govern. We know, for example, that when Islamists come to power, whether you talk about the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt or whether you talk about the AKP in Turkey, they do a lousy job once governing. The other variable, of course, is which Taliban, because, as I said, it's not a cohesive organization. It's an amalgamation of various groups. And so there's a group which has been, for example, in exile. There's been a group which has been negotiating with the international community, not just simply in Doha, but in Germany. They've sent envoys to Russia and so forth. Whether that sort of group will now be the dominant group, or whether we are going to go back to pre-2001 days, where they, you know, target the proverbial other, you know, I'm talking about, you know, basically taking the Afghan people back to the Stone Age. You know, you would remember the bombing of those Buddhas in Bamiyan and things like that. Mm-hmm. So the other thing is that a lot, as you know, they developed from the CIA-supported Mujahideen and Saudi-backed Mujahideen against the Soviet Union. And their ideology in terms of the Salafi Wahhabi Islamism, in terms of the country which sponsored that ideology, has actually changed fundamentally. And I'm talking about Saudi Arabia. It would be very interesting to see if they can also adapt, if they can follow also the route of the UAE, mm-hmm. which has been removing certain hadith, which, let's just say, is now not in the 21st century. But it depends which group of the Taliban are in ascendancy. The other thing, of course, is whether or not or what kind of pressure countries like Russia and China can exert. Interesting to see what happens in terms of neighboring Pakistan for obvious reasons, because of the relationship between the Taliban there, the Pakistani Taliban, and of course the Afghan Taliban. And it would also be very interesting to see where Iran fits in. What I find really, really interesting is that there were demonstrations in Iran against the Taliban takeover.
Oh my word, that's unbelievable.
Because, you know, you have this, go back to 1979, and Khomeini comes in, you know, and says, you know, neither East nor West, but Islam is the best. Okay, and it, of course, the Islam was his particular brand of Shia Islam. Now you have a Sunni Islam there. And you have them in the region across the borders and so on, and would be very interesting to see what the Iranians' response is. I think it's going to be a fascinating couple of weeks.
Of course, the scenes from Kabul at the moment are dreadful, absolutely dreadful.
Absolutely, people are petrified. People who have collaborated with the government of Ghani. And Karzai wants to get out. People who have with coalition forces as interpreters and so on want to get out, fearing that they're going to be
targeted.
And just ordinary people who have had a different kind of living under non-Taliban rule and are fearful about going back to that. So it would be very interesting to see. At the moment, in terms of Kabul itself, there's been positive tendencies with groups like the Taliban asking UNICEF to stay on, saying there will be no retribution, saying no one will be thrown out of their houses, and so on. I'm hoping that they've learned their lesson from the past, that they would rather try to work towards creating a coherent, unified Afghanistan, trying to build a broader coalition, also in terms of ethnic terms, and of course having a more tolerant Islam as opposed to what they had practiced a generation ago.
It will be really, really fascinating to hear, and just hopefully there will be more tolerance and people will be safer. It is 8:26. That is where we leave it. Professor Hussein Solomon, Senior Professor in the Department of Political Science, talking to us about the situation in Afghanistan.